worshiping God from whom all blessings flow.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God once again, my beloved. The God we serve is an awesome God. Our God is still available for us. And for those of us who can believe it, God is still available. Tonight's the night that I want to just say the love of God is still in our heart, the understanding of God, the movement of God, and I want to thank God for y'all tonight for being on the radio. Amen, amen. To God be the glory, to God be the glory. All the things. Hello, young man, how you doing?
Hello, Dr. Hunter, how you doing this evening?
I'm blessing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Are y'all enjoying some rain down in Houston today?
Every now and then we get some. Sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. It goes up around again.
Pops. Yeah.
So it's
good to hear your voice, and
that
everything is going well.
Yes, sir. Likewise with you and your family. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What has the Lord laid on your heart?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about children this evening. Is the word that the Lord has given me this evening. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Anyway, I just want to, before I begin, as always, I want to, just say thank you for having me on and allowing God to use you to open up the airways so that way God can be glorified and that he can impart his message through his service this evening on those that are listening. And I'm also reminded that even as he works through us to deliver the message is also for us as well that are seeking. And so I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to be able to share briefly what God has given me. I also want to say grace and peace to our audience, to you, to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you as we listen to what God has for us today. I want to open with Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Verse 13. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from them. He laid his hands on them and he departed from there. Jesus said that let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. When we go through some of the scriptures and we go through the word, it's very clear that children was and is very important to God. They represent the future of the body of Christ, the future believers, that should be being led in a way to lead them so that they can be ready to be future soldiers in the kingdom of God. Like the disciples, too many times there are many of those that are believers in Christ but tend to believe that the emphasis should be on adults only. And so as a result, when you go to a lot of churches, there's very little investment in children's ministries in comparison to the adult ministries. Even in our homes, I minister to folks all the time, especially in men's ministries. Even in our homes, we're not in the habit of teaching a relationship with Christ Rather, we tend to assume that they are going to learn about God through our example in Sunday school. So as a result, that there isn't an active teaching about having a personal relationship with Christ in the home, what the children adopt is what they see. They adopt religious practice. So they adopt, you know, we go to church, we might go to Bible study, and then that's it. That's what they adopt. And so they really don't understand what our true relationship is because it's not being taught in the home. So as a result, they practice that in their life off in the future. And so so Jesus said, let the little children, when the disciples rebuke the children from initially coming, he said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We play a role in allowing and aiding our children to go to Christ, to come to him, even now, that he's glorified, he's in heaven with the Father, but there's a role we play even now in guiding them to. And there are things that we can do also where we can not know that sometimes be like the disciples when we don't do the things that God is leading us to do as parents to lead the children to Christ, or even some of us that maybe the children are gone already, but we have a chance to have an impact on children in the church and stuff like that, and it's showing that they are getting what they need because that's active. That's not done by osmosis. You know, I told one of our men in the group, he just had his first child, and we were talking, and I told him, I said, well, brother, I said that you and your wife are now responsible for training that child up in the ways of the Lord. And the look on his face was priceless because that's just not something he has ever heard that he has to play an active role in that. And I'm reminded a lot of times, because even though our churches and the ministries we have, that they play a role in the training and in exposing and training children up into the scriptures and the relationship with God. But I'm always reminded that the primary responsibility of training a child up in the ways of the Lord belongs to the parent. It belongs to the parent. And we have to get to a place in our life where the parent is willing to sit down, open up the word, and teach the child themselves what God says and who he is. But the problem is a lot of times the reason why we struggle is because we're not in a relationship either. So we don't have a word. So if we don't have a word, we can't give them a word. And so I'm going to talk a little bit this evening, the importance of guiding and allowing, getting in that process of allowing our children to come to Christ by guiding them and aiding them to his loving arms. So that the way they not only know him in their relationship with the child, but they can also mimic that when they become adults. So I'm going to touch on just a few points on what does it mean to guide children to Christ. What does it mean? The first point is we must accept our role and responsibility in leading children to Christ. See, sometimes we don't know, or we just won't embrace the fact that we have a responsibility in leading them to Christ. We play a personal responsibility. God has enabled us. He's empowered us. He's given us children, or maybe if we don't have children, maybe he's put children around us in our church or whatever the case may be. We play a role. We have a role and responsibility as servants of Christ that we claim to be Christians to lead and aid them to Christ. And our what we teach them is verbal and nonverbal. So children are not only looking at what we say, but they're also looking at what we do. And it's very, they are very, you know, when you don't think they pay attention, they can very easily see when there's duplicity in our life. When I can live out what we're telling them they should live. And so what we're teaching, what we're saying to them is verbal and nonverbal. And because that's the case, we have to realize that our children will walk in what they're taught. They will walk in what they're taught. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, very popular scripture, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, He will not depart from it. Now, what the Bible is the Bible, what it is also saying is, whatever training, whatever teaching that this child, the child gets, is either good or bad training. So if we, you know, we raise them in the incorrect raising, or we go through that process and they get some incorrect teaching, whether it's good or bad, they're going to walk in that when they become adults. They're going to walk in that. And so sometimes we have to understand, what does the word, you know, we read the scripture, but what does the word train, to train, mean? What does it really mean to train someone? And simply put, it means to teach a person a particular skill or a type of behavior. Let me say that one more time. It means to teach a person a particular skill or a type of behavior. So that's an active process that we have with our children, to teach them who God is and how to follow him, who God is and how to love him, who God is in their life as children and how to follow him. And again, when it says train up a child, that's either good or bad training. It's either good or bad training. It's not going to it doesn't matter which one. So we have to be conscious of that, that as we're being examples, and we're elders in the church or whatever role we play, you know, we have young people working with kids, that we're setting an example. And the teaching that we give them is verbal, nonverbal. And, again, we must accept that we have those roles and responsibilities, because sometimes even if we, you know, there was a commercial back when I was a kid, Charles Barkley did, a shoe commercial where he said, I'm not a role model. Well, one thing you learn as you get older is that you become a role model whether you like it or not, if you up in front of children, whether you like it or not. And so we have to accept, the first step is, what does it mean to guide our children to Christ? The first is we have to accept that God has given us a role and responsibility in leading children to Christ. Amen. Number two, what does it mean to guide children to Christ? Well, what we teach or don't teach them will launch them in the direction that they will follow for their lives. Let me say that one more time. What we teach or don't teach them will launch them in the direction they will follow in their lives. So whatever they got in the hole, that is what we're projecting them off to. We are pointing them off into a certain direction. And so, and that's important to understand. Our job, you know, once we accept that we have a role, our job is to propel them in the way they should go. That's what we talked about earlier. You know, it's an active process. We're doing something, whether we say something to them or not, we're projecting them off, we're propelling them. That's our job, is to propel them. We're not only training them up in life skills, because a lot of times what we do is, especially, you know, we're constantly, you know, we understand that concept. Most parents do, that, you know, you want to invest in your children, you want to put them in certain activities and sports and music and all the things that's trying to broaden their horizons and all that. And so what we're doing is we're propelling them in a certain direction and hopefully that they're going to go in that direction. And we invest so much time into doing those things, and those things are important because our children have different personalities. They're going to cling on to certain things that seem to, that they invest an interest in, and they're going to go on and do those things. But wherever that they're doing, wherever God sends them, that's their mission. So that's where God sends them. That's where they, wherever they're going to go, they should be an ambassador for Christ. A lot of times, we train them so much in the skill sets and be basketball players, all those different things. When they get there, they ain't got nowhere there because their emphasis is not placed in them. Because we spend so much time training them, we say, you go and beat somebody. Instead of, in the same token, we're putting them in sports and putting them in music and piano, all these different things, we should also be saying to them that, well, why are you doing that? The most important thing is that we train you up. So wherever you go in your life, that you are representing Christ so that someone else can get saved. That's the most important thing. And so the point is that the most important thing, that on top of all the training, all the things we're exposing our children to, the most important thing is that we're exposing them to Christ. Because, again, what we teach or don't teach them will launch them in the direction they will follow their life. Our job is to propel them in a certain direction. In Psalms, chapter 127, verse 3 through 4. Psalms chapter 127, verse 3 through 4 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Listen to what verse 4 says. It says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." Let's read verse 4 again. It says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." So we are propelling them somewhere. See, that's not a passive activity. Just because we don't do nothing or we decide we're not going to invest in them doesn't mean we're not propelling them. Okay? You know, if we don't do nothing with our children, you propel them in apathy. Because no one ever really cared for them, and so they go off in a life where they don't care for us. You know, so we are doing something. We are propelling them in the direction whether we like them or not. And so we should understand that because we do propel them, that we are making God first in their lives, and everything else comes second. So that way, when they go, wherever they're going, you know, I hear testimonies all the time about folks that, you know, that I've heard folks at the doctors and you know, all these different things, stuff like that. I have a good friend of mine I went to college with, and his wife is a doctor. She's an OBGYN doctor, okay? But the love of Christ and the relationship with God was put in her as a child. So even as she studied and she went through middle school and high school and went off to college and pre-med and all stuff like that and continued to work on the craft that God was blessing her to do, Christ was made first in her life when she was a child. And so when she went out, now she's in these labor rooms with these women that are coming with all sorts of problems, all sorts of situations and whatnot. She's one of the only ones in her office that's a believer. And because she's there and she's working with her hands, she's doing what God has allowed her to be trained in, but she has something far more valuable than any of her training in that room when everything seems to be going wrong. And it's the power of Christ and to be able to stand in that room and pray and say, "Lord, bless this situation." You see what I'm saying? So the point is that Christ must be first and everything else must follow because we are propelling them all to where they should go. Number three, what does it mean to guide children to Christ? What does it mean? Well, number three, we acknowledge that children need raising up in the Lord. We acknowledge. See, sometimes we haven't even just said to ourselves, you know what, I need to place an emphasis on raising my children up in the Lord. You see, the world teaches that, and you see it all the time, where the children are raising the parents. The children are the ones that have all the rational thought, and the parents are yielding to the logic of the children, you know, and the children want to have all the common sense, and the parents, especially in the TV show, the parents are buffoons. You know, the children think it's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. But God does not teach that. That's, you know, if children had all they needed to lead and to be able to make the right decisions and stuff like that, then we would have had the problems we have now. But God, there's a reason for the training because of what God's word says that has to be worked out of a child. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from it." Let's say it one more time. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from it." So foolishness abounds in the child. So there's a reason why we, as a parents have been given fatherly figures, motherly figures in their life, you know, because not every child actually has maybe the biological father or the biological mother in life, but they've had some authority figure in their life that God may have put in their life to be an authority figure to train them up in the way they should go so that when they were old and out of the part from it. There's a reason for that. And so we have to acknowledge that children need raising up in the Lord. There's a reason for that God has given us not only the love but the rod to correct them. And the purpose of the rod is not to punish them in a sense, it's not to make their life personal hell, but it is to correct them in such a way to stop unfavorable behavior in their life that would lead them to destruction in their life, and to guide them back to the ways that would lead them to life and prosperity in their life. And so the training that we're doing also includes correction. But we have to remember there's a reason why God says to train them up in the way they should go, and the reason why we have to acknowledge that children be raised up in God, because in them foolishness abounds. And you see it in today's society already where, you know, whether it's on TV and you see children just running amok doing things, or just going to the grocery store. And you see parents that are struggling and having control of their children, and children are talking back to the parents and calling their parents by their first names and stuff like that. It's just all upside down. And so there's a reason why God put these things in his word, so that where there will be order in our lives and that children can prosper. Because when it is not good prosper, but we also prosper when we are doing the things God has already ordained us to do as adult figures in children's lives. Last point is, what does it mean to guide children to Christ? Last point is we have to evaluate how much we have to evaluate how much training the Lord is necessary to aid them to Christ. Okay, how much training? How much do we have to do to aid them to Christ? Is it just Sunday school? Is it just maybe Bible study? I mean, what is it? You know, what are the things we can do that would teach them and push them into a relationship with Christ? How much of what we have to do? And I would tell you, every moment that's possible. And every moment, and every time we can think of, every moment should be a teaching moment almost. Every moment, because it's a relationship. Because God never leaves us. Every moment that we have, we should be looking for opportunities to teach and train them up in the things of the Lord. And again, a relationship with Christ, you know, as when we even minister to adults, religious practice is not just for Sunday. This is not about religious practice. We teach them to have and practice a relationship with God when they are children. So we don't tell them when they're children, work on these things, and then when you become an adult, you can walk and know. They have no mind. They go to school and all these different environments where they go through things even as little people, okay? And so there's the opportunity for them to know and encounter Christ as a child in a relationship. And so if you train them up and you propel them and push them to have a relationship with Christ as a child, when they're old, they'll know what that is, and they will continue in their relationship and grow. But if we train them up in religious practice, because we as adults are engaged in religious practice, that is what they're going to do when they become an adult. And then, folks, sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean that God can't change them, because I was one of those people that got changed as an adult. But what it means is that they can go through a lot of unnecessary hardships because they did not know the love of Christ as a child personally in their lives, though they're even little people. Again, with every opportunity that presents itself, we should teach them the knowledge of God. That's the relationship, the knowledge of God. I know someone's thinking, well, you know, I got all this stuff going on and this and that and whatnot, but you know, I've come to a point is to understand that whatever's important in life, we make time for it. We will move heaven and earth for anything that's important to us. So the question isn't whether I have time or not. The question is it going to be a priority in our life to make sure that we move on whatever we have to do, make whatever sacrifice to make, to make sure we're putting in the time that God has allowed us to be able to train them up and teach them, that we are able to take advantage of every opportunity. Because everybody has different time schedules, but we have opportunities that God gives us in our own personal time schedules where we could be teaching them the knowledge of God. And when God spoke to Moses and the Israelites, he made this point very clear, which applies to us today, about seeking that relationship with him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, hear what the Lord says. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently
diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house.
Amen.
You, when you walk, by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's in the everyday walk of life. Let's read verse 7 again. You shall teach them diligently, is what the Lord says. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk, by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's just like in everything else in our life. Our relationship with God is not this fixed, boxed-in thing. It's an organic relationship that flows through every area of our life. And because our relationship with God flows through every area of our life, that's what we should be teaching our children and living it out before them. So that way, when they get old, they should not depart from it. Because there's going to be trouble in life, there's going to be things that are going on, and God is preparing them to know who he is. So that when those things come in their life, when those trials and tribulations come in their life, they're able to stand because they've been taught to put their life and to build their life foundation on a rock in a relationship with Christ when they were children. And so when they get older and the winds come and the waters come, they're able to stand in their relationship with Christ. And it only comes through a relationship. That's the only place it comes. If we're living in a kind of a religious fact relationship, when trial comes, it will show. It will show. And so I want to encourage us that whatever children, you know, because some people are different phases with children. You know, some folks have, you know, children have moved on and you know, and now they're serving in different capacities in children's ministries, or they have young people around them in their neighborhood and stuff like that. That's an opportunity to teach them who God is. Who God is. And so, that we play a role in guiding them to Christ. So a few closing points of an amazing closing. Number one, Christ commanded his disciples not to forbid children from coming to him. When we do not teach them about Christ, it is the same as forbidding them from coming to him because we're not showing them the way to life. Our silence in the situation, our silence puts us in line with a situation where it's just the same as not teaching them. Children are an inheritance from God, not from ourselves. They are inheritance from God. They are his children. And he gives us and enables us to raise them to know him. That's what our job is to raise our children up to know who God is. And if we fail to teach our children to love God through a relationship with Christ, the world will teach them not to. Let me say that one more time. If we fail to teach our children to love God through a relationship with Christ, the world will teach them not to. Amen?
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I thank the Lord for the day. Another day is going to bless another day. The word has been taught. Well, Jason, you got a few months. Hang around. I see we got Dr. Wilson. Dr. News, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Well, how are you doing?
I'm blessed.
How are you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed. And how are you,
good.
Apostle?
Doing good.
Amen. As a man said, I'm blessed and not stressed.
That's it. What do we need to be stressed for?
No sense. Well, I want to tell you something. I got a word from the Lord today. The Lord said a blessing are going to fall upon all of us who are his sons. And I'm trying to get it out. I got it. It was sent to me. I read it, and I got to quicken it out of there, and I'm going to put it on the later on tonight. I'm going to put it up so everybody can see it. But it's a blessing from God. It is a spiritual blessing from God. And all
Amen.
I can say is hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. God is good.
Amen. When Jason was talking about those children, they're nothing but a blessing from the Lord. Amen.
That's what they are.
Amen.
That's what they are, and my quiver is full.
Amen.
Amen. You know my quiver is full.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, I know you got a good word from the Lord tonight, so can you unquiver and let it go in Jesus' name? Amen.
All right. Glory to God. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God. Thank Yahweh for another day. Father, please speak. Let your word come across with clarity. Let those who are listening be encouraged and edified, built up in the name of Yeshua. And I thank you and call it done in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, the message God has given me for everyone who's listening today is lift your head up. Lift your head up. Act like you know you have a big God. Lift your head up. And I'm coming from lift your head up. Lift your head up. Act like you have a big God. I don't care what's going on right now in your life. If it's not lining up to what God says, it's going to have to line up. You're going to win. God always calls us to triumph. We got a promise from Yahweh. He says in Psalm 34:19, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Oh, lift your head up. And there's a song they sing, Dr. Hunter, trouble don't last always.
No.
It don't last always. I tell you, God's going to take your lemons and make lemonade.
Amen.
I'm reading from Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2. The scripture says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes. In other words, the psalmist said, I'm lifting up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. So he's saying that
Amen.
He's lifting up his eyes to God who dwelleth in the heavens. Verse 2 says, behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters. You know, when you serve someone, you look for them to reward you. We serve Yah. We serve Yahweh. So we look to him to reward us. And as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. You keep looking up, lifting your eyes up to God. He's going to show mercy toward you. He's going to reward you. He's going to bless you. And so that's why this message is lift up your head, lift your head up, act like you know that you have a big God. We need to put our confidence in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. David said in Psalm 121, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You know, they were out to get David. They were out to get David. They were out to destroy David. They were out to kill David. And David, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, to God, from which cometh my help. He knew that his situation was tough right now. He knew that his situation wasn't good at the time, but he said, I'm going to lift up my eyes to God because I know my help is coming. My help is coming. And so we got to do like David. My help is coming. All those who are listening on right now all around the world, lift up your head and say, hey, my help is coming. That's what David did. David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He said, my help is not coming from any false idols that are made of clay and wood. No, my help is coming from Yahweh. You know the name Yahweh. I tell you, it separates our God from every other false god. I tell you, he's the only true living God, the God of who made the heavens and the earth. Yahweh, that's his name. Yahweh is his name. Yud He Vav He, that's his name. That's how you spell his name. Yud He Vav He. the only true living God. That's who we ought to be looking for to help us. It's all right. You can see it throughout the whole Bible, people looking to Yahweh to give them some help. We can look to him. Lift up your head. It's not like you don't have a God. Lift up your head unto the hills from which cometh your help. David said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And you got to look to the right God. Don't look to Muhammad. Muhammad ain't the right God. Don't look to Buddha. Buddha's not the right God. You got to look to Yahweh. You got to look to the God of Israel. You got to look to the everlasting God, the eternal God. That's who we got to look to. Lift up your head to him. Verse 3 says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Yeah, good God Almighty. He never sleeps. He's always awake. I mean, you tell me who stays up 24/7 like that. Our God stays up 24/7. That's why we don't have to worry about a thing. The angel of the Lord is encamped around about them who fear him, who reverence him, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Good God Almighty. Lift up your head. Lift up your head to the God of Israel. Lift up your head and look to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not those false gods, but look to him. He never slumbers. The scripture says in verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Yisrael, that's how you say Israel in Hebrew, is really Yisrael. Yisrael. It's with the Yud, and the Yud makes is the Y sound in the Hebrew. So it's Yisrael in Hebrew. So you lift up your eyes to the God of Israel. That's where you're going to get your help from. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He never goes to sleep. He's never tired. He's not worn out. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Good God Almighty. All evil. I thank God for that. He protects us from all evil. And I tell you, Apostle, we need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to protect us from all evil. Let me tell you something. Man, things have gotten so evil in the world today, Dr. Hunt, Apostle. Things have gotten so evil in the world today, they're putting a lot of stuff off in food that can even hurt people. Sure, it might they're putting all types of chemicals. I'm telling you, I remember when we were coming up, they were regular-sized drumsticks. Now they got jumbo drumsticks. My God, man. Jumbo chicken wings. Because they're putting all these chemicals off in the food. And I tell them, just give me a regular size wing. I know that wing right there has been pumped up with all types of poison. So they're putting chemicals, big, gigantic tomatoes. If you get the wrong, I'm telling you, tomatoes don't even taste like they used to taste. I'm telling you, they're even putting so many chemicals in the ground and in the food and all these pesticides. That's why we need to lift up our heads to the God of Israel, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, because he is able, good God Almighty, he is able to protect us from all evil. All evil. Pray over your food, and you know what, do the best you can to get organic foods and foods that are not pumped up with a lot of chemicals. And if you do so happen to come across some bad food and you eat some bad food, God, the God of Israel, will protect you from being hurt. He'll protect all evil. Isn't that great news?
Amen.
Lift up your head. I'm telling you, they're putting stuff in. I mean, water is not even like it used to be. Water is not like it used to be. I'm telling you, the foods, I tell you, we need his help. We need his protection. You see, you and I are protected. You and I are protected, Dr. Hunter, because he said if the Bible says that if we so happen to drink anything that's poisoned, it will not hurt us. God Almighty. If we drink something that's deadly, it won't hurt us. Why? Because we lift up our heads to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, the God of Yisrael. And that's where our help comes from. So the scripture says right here, the Lord shall, he says right here that the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He'll preserve even our soul. Now, our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, our imagination, and our intellect. Our mind, our will, our emotions, our imagination, and our intellect. In other words, he'll preserve our minds, keep us from going crazy. I know that he's helped me from kept me from going crazy in the past. He will preserve you from all evil. He will protect your soul. He'll preserve your soul, stop you from losing your mind. And verse 8 says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God just wanted me to encourage those who are listening, lift your head up. Lift up your head. Lift your head up. Look to Yahweh. Look to life. If he takes care of the birds of the air, you know that he'll take care of you. Not one sparrow, the Bible says, falls to the ground and God don't know about it. If his eye is on the sparrow, you know his eyes are on you. He died for you. He didn't die for the sparrows, but he died for you. He died on the cross for you. How much more will the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob do for you? He's a good God. And we need to stop blaming him for bad things. He's a good God. He does good 24/7. He satisfies your mouth and my mouth with good things. He's a good God. He desires that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Boy, I'm about to run around this house. I'm telling you, he's a good God. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Good God Almighty. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's a good God. Lift your head up. Lift your head up. Put your confidence in him. Put your confidence in the only true living God. Because he's a good God, and I tell you, he won't fail. There's three things, Apostle Hunter. There's three things that I know that God can't do. Three things that I know he can't do. He can't die.
All right.
He can't lie. And he can't fail. He can't lie. He can't die. And he can't fail. Get your head up. He's not going to let you down. The Bible says in Psalm 46, verses 1, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. If you're going through some trouble right now, God has made a promise to you, I'm right there with you. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. He's not like some people are. Some people are like this. When you're in trouble, when things are going good, they're your friend. But soon as trouble hits your life, you can't find them. They run off on you. But see, God says, no, just the opposite. I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. I'm your refuge and strength. I'm going to protect you and give you strength when you feel weak. Good God Almighty. Yeah. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help bring you up out of the trouble. That's the type of good God Almighty. He's so good. God is so good. He says he's our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help in trouble. He comes to deliver us out of trouble. Remember Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. He's in the trouble with us to bring us out. The scripture goes on to say, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of you, child of God. She shall not be moved. Child of God, you shall not be moved. I don't care what type of trouble you may be going through right now. God is with you, and you shall not be moved. No trouble is going to take you out. No trouble is going to destroy you. You shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Child of God, God shall help you, and that right early. He's not going to be late. He's right on time. The old people used to say he might not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Is that what he used to say, Apostle Honor? He might not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Verse 6 says, the heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. There it is again. He's with us. He's with us. So actually, the truth is, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Now, he's already with us. He's already with us. He's with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. God is with you. I don't care what the situation is. He's with you right now. He's with you
right now.
Be your refuge. He's with you to strengthen you. He's with you to help you. He's with you to protect you. He's with you to give you strength when you feel like you're a little weak. He's with you to give you strength. He's with you to lift you up and elevate you. He is with you. Good God Almighty. Lift up your hands. Act like you know you have a big God. Lift up your head. You got to put your confidence in the Lord. So that's why God gave me this message for you today. Yahweh wanted me to tell you to lift your head up. Lift your head up. Put your confidence in him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. God will reward you. Yahweh will reward you for you putting your confidence in him. But see, the key is you got to put your confidence in the right God. There are so many false gods out there, Apostle. There are so many false gods today, but there's only one true living God, and that's Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yud, hey, Vav, hey. You got to put your confidence in him. Lift up your head. And number two, you got to say that God is on your side. You know, I've been reading this scripture in Psalm 124. I've read it over the scripture for years. But just the other day, these words jumped out and leaped and hit me right in the face. You got to say that God is on your side. That Hebrew word say is amar, amar. You got to say that God is on your side. Look at Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8. It says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. There's faith right there in the Old Testament in action. I had been reading over that for all these years. You not only need to know that that Yahweh is on your side, the scripture says right here in Psalm 124, verse 1, you've got to say it. He told Israel to say that if it wouldn't have been for the Lord God who was on our side. You not only need to know that he's on your side, child of God, you have to say it. See, faith is saying it. Faith is saying it. Even Yeshua said in Mark 11, he said, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, it'll be cast into the sea. You got to say it. You got saved when you confessed Yeshua as Lord with your mouth. You got to say it. You got to say it. You got to open up your mouth and speak. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You got to profess. You got to confess. You got to open up your mouth and begin to speak what you want. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We got to be like God. We got to be imitators of God as dear children. We got to open up our mouth and begin to speak things into existence. So we see right here in Psalm 124, it's not to know that God is on your side. He says, how now may Israel say? You got to say it. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. See, your mind, you would have gone crazy. Yisrael would have went crazy, but they didn't, because they said, if it had not been for the Lord who is on my side. So when you're going through trouble, you need to say, the Lord is on my side. You got to say it. That Hebrew word, amah, it means to say, it means to speak, and it also means to tell. You see, you got to tell your situation. The Lord is on my side. You got to open up your mouth and say, the Lord is on my side. Apostle, do you remember when David went up against Goliath?
Yes.
Goliath started mocking David. You little run. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this. David opened up his mouth. I tell you, he began to say things. He began to say things like, I remember he told Saul, he said, I remember when I was watching my daddy's sheep and a lion came. And I took the lion by the beard and slew the lion. He said, I remember when a bear came, and I slew the bear. See, he was saying it. And he told Goliath, he said, Goliath, no, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to kill you. He began to say these things. I remember when Joshua was in a battle, Dr. Hunter. Joshua was in a battle, and he wanted to totally just annihilate the enemy. He wanted to wipe the enemy out, but he was running out of time. So you know what he did, Dr. Hunter? Joshua opened up his mouth and said, son, be still. God Almighty. He spoke to the son. He said to the son, be still. And don't you know the sun stayed up there in the sky, lit up until he completed winning the battle because of what he said. You got to say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. You got to say that the Lord is on my side. If a situation is not looking good in your life right now, you got to lift up your head and say, hey, the Lord is on my side. Glory to God. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. The angel of the Lord is encamped around about me. The Lord is on my side. You got to say, Amah. The Hebrew word for say is Amah. Love the Hebrew language. I love the Hebrew language. Amah. It means to say. And God said in Psalm 124, he says, Yisrael, say. So nations ought to be saying, the Lord is on my side. Individuals ought to be saying, the Lord is on my side. We ought to be saying, the Lord is on my side. That's what you're saying if you say the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? You're saying that the Lord is on your side. Those of you who might have gotten a bad doctor report, no, don't accept that bad doctor's report. You need to open up your mouth and say, hey, the Lord is on my side. And he satisfied me with long life, and I'm not satisfied yet. I will live and not die and declare the mighty works of the Lord. You got to open up your mouth. You got to move your mouth. You got to move your mouth. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Now, I like that word, meditate. That word, meditate, you ponder it in your mind and you mutter it in your mouth. You mutter it in your mouth. You ponder it in your mind. You think over and over the word of God in your mind, but you also mutter it, keep speaking it out of your mouth. Keep speaking it out of your mouth. That's why, you know, about those cows. I know you know about those cows. Those cows, man, they can take some grass and chew on a piece of grass for an hour.
My God.
They just chew on it. They call it the cud. Isn't that what they call it, Dr. Ernie? The cud.
That's what they call it.
And they have it in their mouth. I think they regurgitate it over and bring it back up and chew on it some more. And that's what we need to do with the word of God. We need to do it like a cud. We need to put it in our mind and put it in us and speak it out of our mouth and mutter it in our mouth. We need to chew on it. Amen? We got to begin to say that the Lord is on my side. And so God sent me to tell you, lift up your head. Put your confidence in the Lord. And then you need to amar that God is on your side. You need to amar that God is on your side. What does that word mean again, amar? It means to say. It means to speak. It means to tell your situation that God is on your side. Lift up your head. Put your confidence in the Lord. Say amar that God is on your side. And number three, we need to obey his word. Just obey his word. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. You just hear God's word and obey it. And then number four, let people hate on you. Don't put a lot of energy in trying to strike back at people that's hating on you. Let them hate on you. Let them talk about you. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't even have to go after them when they get the lying on you and hating on you. That's my fourth point. Lift up your head to Yahweh and let people hate on you. There was a woman in the Bible in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 17. Genesis chapter 29, verses 31 through 33. There was a woman in the Bible named Rachel. And Rachel hated on this woman named Leah. Hated on her because she couldn't have any babies. She couldn't have any children. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 29, verses 31 through 33. And this is what the scripture says. Listen to what it says. Genesis 29, 31 through 33. Listen to what it says right here. It says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You see, she was hated. And God saw that people were hating on her. And when God saw that people were hating on her, what did he do? He opened up her womb, enabled her to have children because she was hated on. So don't worry about when people hate on you. God's going to see them hating on you, and he's going to open up your womb. He's going to bless you.
Yeah.
He's going to do something great in your life. So I just want to encourage you, lift your head up. Lift your head up. Put your confidence in Yahweh. Say that Yahweh is on your side. Obey his word and let people hate on you. Don't spend a lot of energy defending yourself and trying to strike back at people that's hating on you and talking about you. They're going to keep talking about you. God's going to see that, and he's going to open up your womb. He's going to bless you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, one thing I would say, once again, God has used his word to be magnified in his body of Christ. And I say today, lift up your head.
Lift up your head.
As I read in that book, in the book of Psalms, it says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He shall not slumber nor sleep. He that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep.
Yeah.
And the more I read into that word,
yeah.
the more I read into that word, and I read
yeah.
on down in verse 1 and 3, it says, and God has put in the palaces, he put his benefits there for me. Yes.
Yeah.
As I read it, the more I say, thank you, Holy Father.
Thank you, Holy Father.
No matter what they say about me, it doesn't matter to me. Because an old man told me once, Apostle, he said, as long as you're not a rooster, don't even act and talk like a rooster. Be who you are. See, all a rooster can do is coo-coo-coo. All like a rooster can do. But just be who you are. That old man was telling me, he said, just because a pecan, don't your head be like a pecan. I'm just telling you what God used that old man to tell me some things.
Amen.
And I think, as I look into the word, lift it up, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Lift it up.
Lift it up, your head. Lift it up. God is available. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, no matter
Hallelujah.
What nobody thinks of things, many times, apostles, prophets, nobody knows what's on our hearts but God.
Yes.
God knows it all. But the more we mutter, the more we take the word, Psalm 121, Hallelujah, Psalm 4, Psalm chapter 1 says, when we begin to read deep into the word, it takes it to another level.
Yes.
And every time, all I can say is, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All I can say is, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If I might say this here, even though around the world, issues, but in a major place right now, in Israel, in Jerusalem, the war is going on. Israel said we can cease the war, but the devil said, I ain't tired fighting yet. See, the devil ain't never got tired, but he finna get his head whooped. Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, has promised us. We are protected. He has promised us. And I know that I know. I don't care what nobody says. He has promised me. And if you're the same mindset, he said, trust in me and lead not to your own understanding. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You got me fired up here, prophet. Apostle and prophet. You got me fired up.
Glory to Yahweh.
Hallelujah. See, many things have come against us all. Some have having sleep, some have been charged with the devil, but well, you got cancer, some of you got a heart attack, some you ain't got no job, you ain't got blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Let the glory of God flow through. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's still alive.
Hallelujah, son.
Hallelujah.
Arise, awake, and put on. That's what the book says in Isaiah. It says, arise, and put on your garments. Hallelujah. For the king.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The word, see, that word was given to me some 3 years ago by the prophetess. So she said, memorize this word. And the more I began to memorize that word, the more I begin to memorize that word, the more it become a part of me. I will
glory to God.
God into the hill. He will eyes up to the hill. Why? Because the hill is from whence come my help. Well, I went back and did some real study. It says because that's how it was, the Israelites were like that. Because they were in a low place, but they always knew the hill. That's why David, I don't want to go back and read it, but I'm getting this. And see, I like this apostle, and I like it. I like what David said. He said, "No, you uncircumcised Philistine." He said, "Today your head's gonna be in my hand."
That's what he said. Yeah, he opened up his mouth. Yeah.
Amen. They called him a runt. A runt. He ain't nothing but just a little old boy. But do you know the power that God had put in him? And I like what you said. He's one out there taking my daddy's sheep. I killed a lion. I said, get out of Dodge City. I said, well, the devil was coming. I took him down. I said, that's what God's saying today. But you know what? We just need to keep our eyes up on Jesus Christ. And the thing that God has promised us in this hour, it's going to happen.
It's gonna happen. Everything that Yahweh has promised you, all you gotta do is stay alive. It's gonna happen.
And I don't know.
He's gonna keep you alive until it does all happen.
And you know what?
That's right. You can't die because he He got purpose and plan for you. You can't die.
Man.
So he keeps you alive until he fulfills every plan that he has for you and every desire of your heart. He keeps you alive.
And you know, that's right. And you know what I said, Apostle? I said this. I said, the real things I'm getting ready to do in the daytime, I'm going to see if I can get 1 hour time with nothing but apostles. We meet at a certain time during the day on the radio. We need to take back the land. It belongs to us.
Amen. It does.
I'm sick and tired. Of somebody telling me, well, I got a car for you. Okay, how much is it? Well, you got... No. That's my car you got.
Yeah.
Amen. No, that belongs to me. You just use it to the rightful time. Now let go.
Yeah, let it go.
I was telling the people about helping a brother with a building yet to come. I told the people, I said, let me tell you what. I said, the more y'all keep nagging me about the building, the more God is building up my faith to see the money flowing. Because I saw the money flowing. I said, now when the money falls, he going to know it. And y'all ain't going to know it because it's going to be a done deal.
Amen. Because I tell you, he's going to satisfy you. He says he satisfies you. Your mouth with good things. And then he says, I satisfy you with long life. That's a Psalm 91:16. He's satisfied. What do you mean satisfied? He lets you live until you're fulfilled in life.
But you know what I may say, some apostle? The more we study into the Bible, the more we go into the book of Psalms, the more we find all of God's royal diadems in that word, his royal diadems, and the more we Amen. A man who was preaching and teaching once, he going to be with the Lord. But he always told me these words. He said, long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, ain't nothing going
on. That is it.
And
That's it.
And I begin to think, in the natural, I said, well, something's getting off, but he was talking spiritual. See, I was a young man, and I was still learning.
Yes.
Still learning about the movement of the Holy Spirit. Still learning about people getting healed. Still learning how to speak against evil spirits. Still learning how to, and today I come to stand before my God and say, I thank you.
Thank you.
That you put somebody in my path. And apostle, I'm thanking you that God has put you in some somebody's path to lead them to fresh water.
Glory to Yahweh.
Fresh water. To
Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Yes.
My Mashiach. See, all we
Hallelujah.
Got to do is, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeshua Mashiach is all there. Yeshua Mashiach is there. He said, I'm here because I love you.
Yes. That's it.
God Almighty. And the more I look at that Israel, man, you got me off. You got me fired up.
Glory to God.
I'm in my study. I'm in a pat my foot. Let me tell you this. I know this one. The more we keep Israel in prayer, because
yes.
when I heard it said out of your mouth today, they asked this group Hamas. Israel
Hamas.
Is ready to sell some food. Hamas, he said, and Hamas said, no, we're not ready. We want to keep fighting. The devil wants to keep fighting. Don't he know he ain't lose? He ain't going to win?
He ain't going to win.
And he done everything. And I'll show you how statistics go. Israel lost one person. Now, Hamas lost 180 people. So what's the ratio? 1 to 189?
Wow.
But people got so much people in their hearts. But they got so much evil in their hearts.
Yeah.
That's why we you and I say, well, look, that's why we encourage these people on the radio station around the world. Some
Amen.
Of you might not hear what we say, but in your heart, you know we're telling the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you something.
Amen.
You have put a word to the secular globe.
Glory
in 18,
to Yahweh.
In 18 seconds. Your words circled the globe and went out into outer space. The God showed me how this thing. He said, it goes around the earth 18 seconds, and then it goes out. And you know what? Out is where? Out.
Hallelujah.
Where is out? Out? What you
Hallelujah.
Mean? I don't know what O-U-T. Ain't no end to
yes.
O-U-T.
Yes.
God said there will be no end to my kingdom.
Woo, that's
every
right.
Every time we think we're in the end of the kingdom, we're going to be able to see good God Almighty.
Woo,
that's the kind
glory
of
God. To God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ain't nothing mad for the devil. See, we're going to break through this one. We've already done
Lord.
It.
Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you, keep the faith because something is brewing, and all I can tell you is something is brewing, and all I can tell you is something is brewing, and God has spoken some words to me. He sent me word to my minister, father of the gospel. He said, God is saying he's calling all of his fivefold ministers, especially
yes.
the apostles. And I said, oh, my
yes.
God.
Yes, sir.
Why are you calling us? And I told somebody last night, because we have been treated as zero.
Yes, sir. Yes.
God. We don't beg, we don't borrow, we don't steal.
Yes, sir.
And we watch God do it. I'm telling you, I'm a living witness.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it.
Yes, I'm a living witness.
He's going to do it.
Either I'm a liar, I'm the biggest liar ever walked this earth. Because God, lie. I like the way you said that, Henry. I wrote this down. I wrote this down in your note, and I put, ha, ha, ha. God can't die, he can't lie, and he can't fail.
He can't. He can't. Glory to God, he can't.
Amen. And the more I think about it, the more I say, God, you're the only true God. You
yes.
are the only true God.
He's
now, when we look around
God.
And see, hallelujah, we look around
hallelujah.
And we see the Catholic Church said, well, don't do this. No, where are the prayer warriors? Where are the prayer warriors?
Yeah,
and
works.
If I sound
it
like
works.
A breath, apostle, keep me in prayer, because the time has come, but we got to stir these people up.
Yes. Amen.
There are churches. And the Bible says, and you and I know, we read in the book of Isaiah, and God says, the pastors have mistreated my flock. They have fed them. with foolishness. They have not kept them. And God loves his people.
He sure does.
He loves his people.
He loves his people.
You see how much he loves it. You see how much he loves his people. He loves you. Yahweh loves his people. Because
he sure
they
does.
Sold out. The people are, see, you and I, we sold out. Somebody going to try to hurt us. I said, you're making a big mistake in your life. You don't even know it.
Yes, sir.
We're going to put
yes,
you in jail. I said, put me in jail. But you're making the biggest mistake of your life.
Yes, sir.
Because God is on our side.
He's on our side.
He's on our side.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
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 He's on our side. Hallelujah.
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 And you know what? You know what, Doctor? I'm going to just be honest with you. I promised a person that if they would come on at 8 o'clock, they'd have a right to come on. And you see, with a lot of people, and I'm saying to those who desire God's word, not those who want to do God's word, you have to desire in your heart to do God's
yes,
word.
Sir.
If it's not in your
that's
heart,
right.
you can't do it.
That's right.
Now,
that's
let me say
right.
this. If people can't do it, I made a commitment to you that I'm taking care of the first September. I'm taking care of it. I made a commitment. I'm going to do it.
Yes, sir.
And the devil said, how? I said, I don't know, but God's going to show me how.
Yes, sir.
And I'm
going to
stand, we're going to stand, we're going to bow before God, and we're going to give God the greatest accolade and say nothing but a liar, as usual.
Yeah.
As the old boy said, ain't nothing but a liar flying, ain't got no wings flying. He's a liar. That's all
yes.
the devil can do. But as
yes.
long as we keep seeing the people, see, some people believe that we apostles are trying to rob the people. I said, no, we're not robbing people. We're robbing
no.
them for ignorance just to put the word of God deep in them.
Yes.
And I'm talking to people, read why some people want to go to church because they're scared, because they're afraid what they got to give up.
Yes, yes.
And I'm they don't want to, number one, they don't want to praise God. Number one, they don't want to take care of the house of God. Number three, they don't want to make sure the pastor's taken care of. Number four, the house looks like who shot John and why. And number six, it's our building. I said, give me a break. What ship you just came out for?
Yes.
Because God put a man in charge. It's best that we honor and respect that fact, because we don't know
yes.
what God's going to do with us. Amen?
That's right.
We
amen.
We just don't know. All I can tell you is these latter years, the best of my years is before me. The best
amen.
Of my years are before
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. That's right.
And all I can and I will say this to you, because I know you got a great word, and yesterday was a mix-up on the meeting, but I believe we're going to have it next Monday night. We're all going to get together. But I want to say this to you, Apostle. Stay
yes.
in the ship. Stay in the ship.
Yes, sir.
You're the captain. Of the no
yes.
matter what they say, you're the captain of the ship.
Yes, sir.
And when somebody said, the wind is blowing to the west, he said, east by east. Well, the wind is blowing to the west. He said, east by east. See,
yes.
the winds of uncertainty, of lines and move about, is always blowing us, trying to blow us off course. But as long as we stay on course, east by east. And I learned that from an old man. He said, as long as you keep it east by east, you can't go wrong. Because you're
yes.
on a 019. You can't go left, nor right. He said, east by east. I remember that.
Yes. Amen.
And we can just stand for him and see. I turned the man up there. So I got some friends need some new cars. Is what I said. Yo, we need some new cars.
Yes.
Well, what you want to do
yes.
for them? I said, I want y'all to give them. That's what I want y'all
yes.
to do.
Loose them.
Now, what are you talking? No, I told him. I said, you know what? I said, God can send you the biggest deal through somebody, and you ain't got a choice but to say, remember what God said, and you got to give them people some cars.
Yes.
You don't give them, he's going to lose the money. And a man who's in full of a man who's in love with money, he don't want to lose nothing. But you
That's
know,
right.
Apostle.
That's right.
But you know what, Apostle, I found out.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Abraham was such a man because they knew that Abraham knew his God.
He knew his God.
I began to read some books on the Jewish about Abraham. They would bring over Abraham buckets of gold.
Wow.
I'm telling you, they would say, whatever you want, we got more of it. They'd give it to them because they see until the world began to respect our God, they ain't going to do nothing.
That's right.
And I said, my God Almighty. But because what brought to my point, Abraham was a man of age, his wife. They're both no child. Wife gonna get pregnant, she grinned at God. God, he's best age. God pumped him up his quiver. I said, look at God. He can do anything he wants. And made that seed of Abraham, as is written in the book of Hebrew, it wasn't a seed of an angel, but it was a seed of Abraham.
Yes.
Look how God does it.
Yes.
And anybody can say what they want to say, but the God we serve, he's an awesome God.
He's an awesome God.
You know what? When we wake up, Apostle, and we see the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, that's only God. And I was just studying, praying, and meditating. And the more I began to see what God was doing inwardly for an outward appearance, God was saying, the more I build you up inwardly, the more you can depend on me outwardly. And the more you got the word, see, the devil's scared of you, Apostle, and me, because we have the W-R-I-D in our tongue. When we speak, it's like fire.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, that's right.
And what the word says, when God
that's
speaks,
what the word says.
It's like fire.
Yes, sir.
He's going to stand there. I done told him it's going to be a big lie here from the words that go, because we're going to take this city. I'm doing it now. The city belongs to us.
Yes. Glory to God.
And somebody said, well, you know, I said, no, the city belongs to the believers.
That's right.
It belongs to the believers.
And everything in it. That's right.
What we believe, you're in the right thing. But if you don't believe, we can help you. I'm not going to try to convince you to believe like I believe. I'm not going to try to. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me to tell you.
Someone told me, you
went to the wrong church. I said, what's the wrong church? I said, explain that to me. Well, you know, we do. I said, no, I've been that road before. I come out of the Baptist. I said, I've been to the Methodist. Mm-hmm. I've been to the Catholic. I tell you what I've discovered. That there was no love like God's love.
No love like God's love.
Perfect love.
Perfect love.
And
that's
I ain't putting down the Baptist, the Methodist. I'm just saying, ain't no love like God's
love. That's it.
Because when God loves you, he loves you. Why you think when you're preaching about that man, David, you think, and all that even he got up and did what he did wrong, he came up to the prophet and told him, no, David, immediately, I am the man.
Yes.
And you know what happened? And his wife said he got to be a crazy man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's another story. But anyway.
Glory to God, I say this here to you.
Apostle of the Lord is going to do something, but be patient. We both going to be patient. We're going to watch God do something. And I remember, you remember David Allen? You remember David Allen? The guy that came on once? He came on and he done been in jail 2 or 3 times for telling the people the truth. And they put him in jail. They put him back in jail because he's doing nothing but telling them. He went down to the jail and started praying with the people in there, and people started falling out because the Holy Ghost touched them. They arrested him again. That's what God needs today. We ain't got to go and stir up the fire. We can stroke the fire in our churches.
Yes.
So we got some things going on in the churches right now. Some things I'm seeing, Apostle. I'm just saying, well, Lord, sometimes people want and sometimes people don't want.
Right.
But we have to pray for them. We have to pray for them. We
That's
have
right.
to pray for them, Apostle.
That's right.
Pray for
You're
them,
right.
Because it will never be said on our account that we didn't
right.
pray for them.
That's right.
I see people, I met a lot of people in the last week, and there were some things I said wrong. I know I did. Forgive me, Father. I've asked God. I didn't call a prayer, but I say this much. I know that I know. But when my time is right, can't hold me back. Can't hold me back. I can't hold you back.
Amen.
They tried years and years ago to keep you, but when you didn't have nothing, and you talk about your testimony, it fires me up. You talk, you didn't have nothing. He said, but look what God did.
Look
what God's finna do. Look what he's finna do even better.
Oh, come on.
He forgot about
you. Amen.
He forgot about you.
No.
Everybody else said, oh, you know, ain't nothing to blah, blah, blah. But God said, I got my eyes on him. And every time God got my eyes on him. And the more you talk, the more you talk about Yeshua HaMashiach, and the more you let him know, he says, that's my son. That's my son.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is that what he said? He said, in the next verse in Psalm 2, he said, I have set my king on what? On holy mountain. And I have declared, this is my beloved son, my only begotten son.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we are byproducts of Jesus Christ.
Yes, we are. Hallelujah.
I told somebody one day, I said, y'all better be careful. Don't go around talking about the apostles. Know what God to put on our? I see to put some fire on us. Y'all can't take off for you. What you talking about, man? We put the Holy Ghost get on you. You ain't gonna for the rest of your time. You're gonna be running and jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I thank God for you spending these 30 minutes. You're like a true brother, and I thank you for it. And anything else you want to say before we go off there?
No, that's it. That's it, Apostle. I love you, Apostle.
I love you, Apostle. But I know there is much work to be done.
Yes, sir.
Much work to be done. And if we don't stir up our work, who else is going to do it for us?
That's right. And you just continue to keep up the great work. I tell you, it's a blessing what you're doing, Doctor.
Amen. And same with you. And a lady told me, she said, until we give her a call back, some issues she wants to discuss with somebody, I said, I'm always open. But
Amen.
I was telling somebody, and somebody said, well, this man to money, he had a whole lot of money he's going to give you. I said, you know, he's right. She said, I said, yeah, he's right. He's going to give me a whole lot of money. She said, how you done? I said, no, God said.
It's going to come from somewhere. Amen. It's going to come from somewhere. He didn't start what you're doing for nothing.
No. And see, God keeps it. And like Dr. Wright will say, God keeps us good figures. He keeps a good account. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He sure does.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you, Father, for the Apostle Newsom tonight, that you will bless him, that you will keep him and his family and the work that he's called him to do in this hour. I pray tonight, Father, that he will be that man will stand. Now stand with him, Father. Our hands are lifted up to you. We praise you. We love you. We adore you. We know the fullness is yet to be fulfilled. And, Father, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you for everything that you have done for us. And, Father, we just give you the glory. We give it to you. We thank you. We thank you because you're the one that you. Hallelujah. And without you, Father, we do nothing. And, Father, we just say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, hold on. Hello, someone on the line? Hello?
Hey, Brother Willie, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
This is David. I'm
David.
Just here.
Go ahead. Tell him, David. Go ahead.
Good evening. Well, we serve a mighty King. We serve a mighty
Amen.
Lord, a mighty risen Lord. And he is wonderful, and he is good, and he is forever. And we're not, and we're temporary, but he is. And he wants us to be his children. He wants to give us everything that he's got. And we just have to be his children. We just have to believe and receive.
Amen.
We come to that realization. We come to that point of believing and receiving, along with the realization of how unworthy we are and what sinners we are. And it usually happens about the same time. And about the time we're telling God we're so sorry, we can't ever be forgiven. And about that same time, he's telling us not to worry about it, that he's got it. And he took it. And he paid it.
He got it.
He just tells us to come on in the house and be his children, his servants, be his bride. What an honor, what a privilege.
Amen. That's what the apostle and I was talking about earlier, how that we're just going to be his apostle. We're going to do what God told us to do. We're just going to do what God told us to do. And I was telling apostle how that the enemy came and put you back in jail again, but yet you're free again. You want to tell us again? Tell us again. Stir us up. Come on.
Wait a minute now. Tell me the question again.
I said, the apostle and I was talking about, I read the newspaper some week or so while you was going through some issues, and you tell me that you've been in jail. They put you in jail for preaching the gospel. And here you are again.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Like the Apostle Paul, he come in, they put him in jail, the jail got to release him. That's why I said, stir us up.
Well, that was a great joy. That was the fourth time for preaching the gospel and blowing the shofar. The shofar is the sound of the gospel. It's the sound of the King. It's a victorious sound. When Jesus comes again, we'll hear the trumpet of God. And well, you put that together, and some people do everything they can to stop you. But it was a great joy going to jail the last time. Got to put on the orange pajamas and spend the night and witness to a whole bunch of hurting people. And one young man had just shot his girlfriend, and other men were hurting. And, it was just a fellowship all night long and until I left there about noontime. But it was just a great joy. It was just a great joy being sitting on that concrete bench and just witnessing and sharing with a lot of men and a lot of hurting men. So it was a good experience. And well, it happened over at Planned Parenthood March the 5th. And so, but they're in a lot of hot water now. I've come to find out that they use the constables that work there. They use Precinct 1 constables to work there. And I've been talking to those constables for, ever since 2010, since they've been working there. They were working for Planned Parenthood even before that. And so the director of Planned Parenthood marched them out there to arrest me for no reason. They didn't want to do it. And you know what? They didn't even know how to do it. And that Planned Parenthood director made them do it anyway. And so they're in hot water now. There's a national legal firm that parachuted in, praise God. After the first three arrests, they parachuted in and filed filed a lawsuit against the city. And matter of fact, just the other week, they were deposing the Houston Police Department all the way up to the very top. Probably all I should say about that. But they're in big trouble because they've been violating God's God-given right to share his word, and now they're in big trouble. And I couldn't believe it when it happened again. It happened again in March. And this time it wasn't HPD, it was the constables. And they knew better. They knew it wasn't. There was no reason for it. Now it's come out, all the facts have come out, and unfortunately, our district attorney is a lady named Devin Anderson, and Devin Anderson is the same district attorney. She took over when her husband Mike died of cancer about a year ago, I guess, and turns out she's violently pro-abortion, and I don't think her husband was, but basically the first thing she did when she took office was she exonerated Douglas Carpin. Douglas Carpin was an infanticide abortionist here in Houston. You've all heard about Kermit Gosnell in Philadelphia, but we got our own Kermit Gosnell. Kermit Gosnell was convicted and sent to prison for life for murdering. He was delivering babies and murdering them. That was how he committed abortion. He would deliver the babies live because it was easier that way, and then he would do horrible things to those babies, and they'd be screaming and kicking, but he'd just do horrible things to them. Well, we had our own Kermit Gosnell right here in Houston. His name was Douglas Carpin. We were promised investigations, and Governor Dewhurst, the lieutenant governor, said he was going to do something, and HPD said they were going to do something, and the district attorney, Devin Anderson, said she's going to do something, and they were supposed to have all these investigations going. Well, guess what? In December of 2013, Devin Anderson announced there had been a secret grand jury that had exonerated Douglas Carpin. And that was December the 13th, 2013. And that same day, Governor Dewhurst patted her on the back and said what a great job she'd done. And so it was covered up. It was buried. And that's on YouTube. If you go to hornofsamuel.org, you can see the whole story, hornofsamuel.org, and the whole story's there on video. So that's our district attorney's Devin Anderson. And she's the one prosecuting me now for no reason. And she knows there's no reason, and she knows that case should be dismissed, and those constables should be spanked. But she can't let go of it now because got this other lawsuit going, and the mayor won't let her do it. And the mayor and, you know, the sheriff and the police chief, they're all in on it. They're all promoting abortion and perversion in our city. And so here we got abortion and perversion. They're using our tax dollars to force abortion and perversion down our throats. They're forcing us to listen, to teach it to our children that it's okay. Abortion is okay, and perversion is okay. Mr. Obama's preaching it from the White House, and Eric Holder's preaching it from the Department of Justice. The Supreme Court's preaching it from the Supreme Court, and most of Congress is preaching it from the halls of Congress. And it's just they're doing it with our tax dollars. It's a great big lie designed to thwart God's purpose. Now, God purposed us to be fruitful and multiply. In the very first chapter of his book, he blessed his creation, and he told us. He said, y'all be blessed, be fruitful, and multiply. And that was his direction. And so whenever someone says to kill those babies or to teach our babies to be, you know, perverted and do things unnatural, well, that's just opposite of what God says. And they got their reasons, but it all goes back to that stinking liar from the pit of hell, you know, that stinking liar, that fool named the devil. Now, he's a liar, and he leads all this foolishness. But fortunately, he's defeated. We don't even have to mention his name because Jesus Christ has already sent him packing. Jesus Christ has already destined him for the lake of fire. And so we just thank Jesus Christ for his original purpose. We thank Jesus Christ for what he's doing in this day. His Holy Spirit is coming down on this world. If you notice, things are changing. You know, there's been a lot of death and dying, and people used to be for abortion. But you know what? A good majority of Americans now know what it really means because most of us have been touched by it, either directly or indirectly, as grandparents, as uncles, as nieces of lost children. We're beginning to understand that there's a whole lot of Americans, about 60 million Americans that aren't here, and that their lives were taken, stolen away by this foolish lie of our nation. And our nation is bankrupt financially because of it. Our nation is bankrupt morally because of it. And now people are getting on their knees and praying desperately because of it. And so when that happens, when God hears the cries of his people crying desperately and turning and praying, then he promises that he's going to hear them, he's going to forgive them, he's going to heal their land. Amen?
Amen. 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 Well, you know, David, one of the things I do take notice of is that your continuation and what God has called you to do. That blesses me. And I know that one day soon I'll be back out there, because I was just sitting there thinking. I said, boy, wouldn't it be something if all the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the fivefold minister would spend one time in jail at night. I said, I wonder what they do, put on them different clothing. I said, I wonder what they do. Some of them said, no, I ain't going to go to jail. You don't never know. The Apostle Paul went. He went. Yeah. What calls us to this hour we live in? And, you know, one thing I will say, David, is that God is keeping you. The prayers of the righteous avail much.
Yeah.
The prayers of the righteous avail much. And as Apostle Newton was teaching that, he says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And David, I know that's how you lift your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help.
Yeah.
And God has put his hand on you.
Look at here. 50 years ago, see, every 50 years, the Bible says, blow the shofar across the land. And all the slaves are set free, and the land is returned to its rightful owner. Now, look at here. 50 years ago, 1964, a crooked politician named Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act. He did that in 1964, but it was a reaction to what happened in Birmingham in 1963. When Bull Connor turned the fire hoses on the children. They had all the young men in jail. So the children went out and they turned the fire hoses on the children.
Uh-huh.
Now, what happened was America woke up. God woke up America, and it didn't matter what the Supreme Court had said in 1896. Everybody realized, no, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. Supreme Court once said that slavery was okay. In 1896, the Supreme Court said that segregation was okay. But see, they were wrong. They were wrong because that's not what God said. And there had to be some bloodshed and some suffering. So people had to go to jail. But one man stood firm. One man went to jail. He was faithful. He took the handcuffs. He took the jail. And he had a dream because he said he saw the mountain. He saw the mountaintop. That man said that. And then he knew he wasn't wrong for this world. He said in the last night of his life, he said he's going to have to go on. He knew he was going on, but the faithfulness of Dr. King, of him to stand and to say the word and to preach the gospel in peace and love and mercy and grace, it brought that evil down. Now, that's 50 years ago. Now, we're in the Jubilee time again. The Supreme Court said in 1973, that it was okay to take our babies' lives. It's a matter of choice. Yeah. It's our choice. The goddess of choice allows us to defy the living God of the universe. Well, the Supreme Court was wrong. And the Supreme Court said last year that a man could lay with a man. And that was wrong, too. And those are 40-year bookmarks, bookends. It was Roe v. Wade in 1973, and then 40 years later in 2013, they said perversion was okay. You see, abortion and perversion, they go together. But now, see, we're in a Jubilee year. So there's a few that have been faithful to go to jail, and that's fine. But God's going to set us free. America's going to be set free. This nation's going to shake with freedom. We're going to realize what we've done. We're going to realize all those babies that we're missing. And tears are going to flow throughout this land. And we're going to cry out to God, say, my God, what have we done? What have we done? My God, my God. And then he'll tell us, he'll say, now that's okay. He'll say, you need to give those babies names. Go back and give all those babies a name, because you have to understand those babies are with me. All those babies, they're all grown up now. They're angels in heaven, and they're making some sweet music around my throne. Now look here. You can't break a child relationship with a parent. That's God-given. That's God's assignment. God gave us that ability to have children and to love children, and that love is God. It's a reflection of God. It can never be broken. We can make a mistake. We can be lied to. I made that mistake in 1973. I was the first one in line. But look here. God uses murderers. God uses them big time. He used Moses. He used Paul. He used David. See, he uses murderers. When those murderers come to their senses and they tell God they're sorry, then God, that's the most useful instrument that God has, is a repentant heart. That's the sacrifice of God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is, when America wakes up and receives their forgiveness, God says, you have to be forgiven, you have to receive that, because these babies are all waiting to get to know you. These babies are waiting to have that relationship fulfilled and restored. What that devil took away, see, God's going to restore. He promised that. He's big enough. He can do that. We don't understand it. We can't believe it. But he's big enough, and he said he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Everything that enemy stole, God's going to restore. So that's going to shake this nation to the heart. Now, look here. Israel is in the same boat as America. Israel and America, they lead the world in this foolishness. Both Israel and America, in the year 2013, began to provide state-sponsored, state-supported, taxpayer-funded abortion on demand, free abortion on demand for any reason. I've got Obamacare does it in 2013, and Israeli health ministry, they've had socialized medicine for a lot of years. Well, they just added free abortion to the menu of things you can get. So you see, God's you know, most favored nations, Israel and the United States, are in this together. We're in this great evil together, and we're coming to realization together. You know, as we go through this tribulation that we're going through, that's beginning now, we're getting ready together, to lead the world the other way. We're going to lead the world back to God as God forgives and restores.
That's right. That's right. Amen. We live in a time where we know that the system is not of God. It's of the evil one. But God say in his word to us who believe, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the word of God says, come ye therefore and repent. And when we repent, I know I have repented many years ago, and I said to the Lord, to God, God say, it's your sins, when you confess them, he said, for it's east from the west. So I press on in. And I will say to anybody that's out there listening to us around the world, we got some men here tonight, that men that stand for God. We're not afraid. We're not ashamed. We don't have nothing to hide. We're transparent.
Amen.
You can look through us. You won't find evil and darkness. You'll find nothing but love. When a man come on the radio and tell you what happened to him, and one tell you, Apostle Luke's come to tell you, lift your heads up. And you out there, you couldn't admit that mistake, but lift your heads up. For the king is coming. Lift it up. The king is coming. And the more the king comes, the more he uses us. And I don't say that David. In Espanol, it's La Vie. And I remember when David the King, he did what he did. One thing I do love, he had the authority, hallelujah, he had the authority to slay Solomon the king. But he just took his knife and cut out a piece of his hair and cut off a piece of his clothes. Said, I could have taken your life. That's how God uses us.
Yeah.
He puts us in peculiar places. And when we obey God, and one thing I can say about David, ever since I've known David, David has been a man standing for nothing but the truth. He stands, he don't waver, he stands firm. But you know, a lot of people say, well, that ain't my call. That's a lie. It is our call. One call, all call. You might be and I'm going to say it like it did in the country field. In the cotton patch. You might be on row 14. I might be on row 74. But I know you got to drag that. You got to put that sack and bring it to the end line, because somehow you got to get that cotton weighed. What am I saying? In life, we have journeys that we go through. But everybody's on a different road. They might do it over here. But every now and then, we have a song that say, hallelujah. That's God talking to us.
Yeah.
And the more I hear David, see, I told you when David come and go fire me up. See, when David comes and he starts talking, I watched God use this man. I'll never forget it. We've done it to the whole apostle. I will never forget it. Went down there, some thing began there when I saw people. I said, look, the horn was blowing. Folks got, when he blew that chauffeur, folks started running. And I was putting this, why are you running? We ain't heard nothing like that before. That's God warning. God has a way of warning us. And those of us who know what the notice your fear is, I'm getting that.
There's a testimony for you, Brother Hunter. I'll tell you a testimony about City Hall, too. You know, the shofar sounded all around City Hall. Starting about that time, that you're speaking about 2009, when we had Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, out there. We had nine shofars around City Hall sounded, and it was a wonderful day. It was just an incredible confluence of events. And then the next morning, you rode three of us around in your with your sunroof down in that Mercedes, and we drove around the loop of this city, blowing shofar around the city.
Wow.
That was the second day I knew you, because I just met you the night before during the ceremony, and then the next day we went around the loop blowing the shofar. But let me tell you what's happened since. On the day of Purim, this last day of Purim, I think it was in March, you know, that's the day when the nation of Israel was going to get slaughtered in Babylon. They were in captivity, and old Haman had convinced the king to kill all of God's people on the day of Purim, and they were all fixing to die. And so Esther, you know, had the courage to go talk to the king, and the king asked, well, what did we ever do for Mordecai? And anyway, it all turned around in a day. I mean, overnight, it went from a hopeless situation to a victorious situation, and all that would harm the Israelites were harmed themselves, and all the booty belonged to Israel again. Now, look here. We got a mayor that's promoting abortion and perversion. She cut the ribbon over there, the biggest abortion clinic in America. And she's promoting this parade. She just had her parade over there in the Montrose. And, you know, every form of perversion she is for. And she's the founder of the LGBT Society at Rice University. And she's proud of it. She's the founding member of the LGBT. So, I mean, this woman is all about abortion and perversion. Well, look here. We're going to pray for her. We've been praying for her. But look here anyway. The shofar sounded underneath the mayor over and over again, and recently the police that work in that city hall have called me to blow the shofar inside city hall in the rotunda. Now, the acoustics in there are wonderful there, and so on the morning of Purim, we had about five shofars over at San Jacinto Monument, and that's a horrible monument to Freemasonry, but it's very similar to city hall. Both structures are built on that fossil limestone, and both structures are on the inside. You can't tell which one you're in because they're so similar. But it just so happened that we found that morning at the San Jacinto Monument on the morning of Purim, and then that evening, when actually the beginning of Purim is that evening, it was raining cats and dogs. And one of the prophetess wanted to sound the shofar with me over there. I said, well, come on. And we got over there, and it stopped raining right when we got there. And we followed a construction worker in there as the sun was setting. And I asked the security lady, I said, we're going to sound the shofar right here from inside the rotunda. And she said, yes, you are. And so we sounded the shofar from inside that rotunda and got away with it. And then another security guard came who was very unhappy about it, and he threw us out. But it already happened. So now look here what happened when the mayor was passing her ordinance. Not that prophetess, but another lady shofar blower called me and said, you coming? All the pastors are down here. I said, well, I said, I guess I better come because you called me. And so I went down there. That's Miss Cindy that called, and there's all these pastors, and there's all the news cameras, and they're standing around the very place where I always sound the shofar, right there on the patio. They've got the cameras on one side, the pastors on the other, and they're speaking out against this perversion that the mayor's promoting, this equal rights amendment, they call it. But it's just, you know, it's special rights for gender identity and all that foolishness, you know, and that's what she's all about. Anyway, so we got there, and there was a big crowd, and I could only get up to the glass doors of the building. And I was up there, and then I was getting ready to sound as the pastors were closing, and someone grabbed me and said, no, you go down there. And so that was my direction. I went right down to where the microphone's in. Plus, I had to lift my shofar straight up in the air because it was so crowded, and I put it right in between the cameras and the pastors, and everybody was hollering, the shofar, the shofar. And then when the last pastor got done praying, the shofar sounded, and that crowd, there was hundreds of people there. It was a big crowd, and it just erupted with the sound of the shofar. And then Miss Cindy comes up, and she said, come on, we're going to go inside and blow in the rotunda. And I said, oh, I don't want to get arrested again. My heart really wasn't in it. But I said, come on, if that's the call, then let's go. And we went right into the center of the rotunda. Now, the crowd had entered City Hall. Now, they're going through the rotunda to go through security to go up the stairs to get to that City Hall, where the council meets, because they were debating that bill. And so these hundreds of people now are packed inside the rotunda. And we had to kind of work our way to the center of the rotunda. There's an evil emblem there with a Greek god that sits there, this word that says government protects the people, a big lie. Anyway, I said, Cindy, you step on his head. Cindy, you, and so she stepped on his head. The woman put her foot on the head of the enemy, and I said, now, we sounded. And there was Houston policemen all around the perimeter inside the rotunda, and they were watching. And we got done sounding, and everybody was hooting and hollering and declaring hallelujah. And I went up to each of those policemen, and I said, abortion perversion is coming down. You no longer work for Mayor Parker. And they were smiling. They were giving me high fives. And I went to every – there was only one – about six or seven policemen I witnessed to. And I went up to each one of them and blew the shofar for each one of them. They were hooting and hollering. And then I went out front, and I preached to some more policemen. And I was leaving. I had to get back to work. And a couple of mounted policemen called me over. They called, David, come here and tell us what – so I went over. I talked to those mounted policemen. It gave them a word of encouragement. And I'm telling you, I will tell you this. For the last 2 years, guess what? HPD has been training their officers about the shofar. The last time, before the lawsuit got filed, they had special training. And the city attorney told HPD, don't you dare take that shofar away from me, because they took it away from me three times. Well, four times, counting the last time. Four times I've been separated from my shofar. And they told the HPD 2 years ago, They said, now don't be taking that shofar. That's a religious instrument. They've had training. They got a PowerPoint presentation about the shofar. And we just found out about that. They've been training HPD officers for 2 years, and that's why there's been no trouble for the last 2 years. Those first three arrests, they all happened back in 2011. And so, but in 2012, they began having this training, and there hasn't been a lick of trouble since. So, I mean, it's already, God's already given freedom. And I just encourage all any shofar sounders out there, you just get out there at the call of the Holy Spirit, and if you don't have your shofar with you, you just holler, because you are a shofar. You just holler, ta-da! You just holler, ta-da! Ta-da! You just call out the victory. You just call out the warning. You call out the alarm. Ta-da! 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 You can do it. You just get on out there, listen to the Holy Ghost. He'll put you right where you're supposed to be. But we're all free now. We're all free to get out there and sound the shofar. You know, it just takes someone to put a little crack in the Holy Spirit, put that little crack in the dam, and then it just starts flowing a little bit, and then a little bit more, and pretty soon they can't stop it. Pretty soon that Holy Spirit just reveals all the foolishness that's going on, all the darkness in our world, what all these politicians are, now there's no hope right now. We know there's no hope. There's no political party. There's no politician. There's no federal agency. There's no Hollywood. There's no free press. There's nobody going to save us, because they're all on the enemy's side. He's co-opted everything. Amen. So we got no hope but Jesus Christ. And guess what? Well, just like in the day of Purim, they had no hope but Jesus Christ. You know, they had no hope but God. There was no hope. There's any number of situations, whether you're backed up against the Red Sea and the Egyptians are coming down on you in the chariots, or the city's surrounded and you're starving and dying at first, God waits for those kind of situations. And when those kind of situations arise, God's people start praying. And God says, okay, now I can be glorified. And that's when the Holy Spirit works. It's in these kind of times, the kind of times that we're in right now, these are the times the Holy Spirit works. And we can just look forward with anticipation and victory and joy, knowing that our God reigns.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, David, we thank God. Do you have your horn? You can blast it around the world one more time, because it's so good just blessing my house when it just blessing me. And I want to thank the Lord for him constantly keeping me on my heart and praying for you and what God is doing for you. And God says that it's none like him. He is the only one,
And I just want to thank God for you, David. I want to thank God for you. Apostle Newsom, do you have anything to say?
I just say God bless you, Apostle, and God bless you, Minister David. God bless you. And you keep up the great work. I tell you, you're an awesome man of God, and I just appreciate what you're doing.
Amen. Amen.
I just thank God to stand with you gentlemen. Brother Willie, we've been standing together since 2009, and I've seen the miracles in your life and what God's doing and giving you voice and just preparing you and equipping you and taking you through the fire and building you up. And so I just, we're going to stand together, all of us. We're all going to stand together in the army of the Lord. And we're just going to shout the victory. There's an old hymn, a Civil War hymn. It says, He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call a retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men and before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. See, our God's marching on. I'm going to sound the shofar, and then I'm going to get off of here. I'm going to sound the shofar, and then I'm going to be gone. But I just join you all in blessing God and blessing the name above all names. Lord God, we thank you for the victory call. We thank you for your voice. That's the King of Sounds. You're the King of the world. You're the King of the Jews. You're the Lion of Judah, and we just recognize who you are. And we just lift up your name and just thank you for all the victories, Lord. Now I'm going to sound the sound of heaven.
Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach, we bless your name. We praise you, we adore you, and we just magnify you. And we thank you for another time we're together. Tonight's the night that I just say thank you. I said thank you, Father, for allowing the horn to blow, the sound of the trumpet, the sound that you're going to come. And we thank you tonight for all these brothers, us men, who have stood together. We pray this day in Jesus' name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah, that we will rise.
Hallelujah.
And we will walk in Jesus' name. Amen. I love y'all. God bless you now.
Love you, Bob.
Peace. Amen. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. My God Almighty. Woo. Hallelujah.